Why don't we take a moment and just pray and reset a little bit, and then we will jump into Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother Scobie, and we know that we often sit down and make life strategies, and there is good in that, there's prudence in that, there's stewardship of gifts given, but we know from your word that man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. And so, Lord, we give you gratitude for Scobie and for the path you've had him on. We know that it has included some very profound suffering and some very difficult things. But what a testimony it is for him to stand before us and even speak about things like cancer and death and loss, and do so in the hope of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, and I pray, Lord, that we would be a good friend to Scobie, that we would not just see him as someone with cancer, but as our brother in the Lord with many gifts and graces and a vital place to play in our body. And so we thank you for him, and we thank you for the good testimony of Christ and that he is the Savior of sinners. Lord, as we now consider some more things about Christ, I pray that in the time remaining for Sunday school, you would bless us and give us a sense of worship in our hearts for Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. All right, so knowing that we were going to schedule a testimony before this, and knowing that my brother would find 5 minutes laughable, I kind of had a more streamlined Sunday school already queued up that I could, you know, make longer or shorter, but we need to go ahead and jump right into that, and Lord willing, we won't end too late. So, just to level set a little bit. Question and answer 22 of the Orthodox Catechism asked, what are those things which are necessary for a Christian man to believe? This is a question about the knowledge that needs to be in saving faith, the content. Faith, even sort of echoing off what Scobie said, is not just this abstract good vibes that has saving properties in and of itself. Faith has to have a target, an object, and the object of that is Christ himself, but it has to be the real Christ. It has to be the Christ revealed to us in the scriptures. And so there is such a thing as saving knowledge. There are things necessary for a Christian man to believe or Christian woman to believe. And the answer was all things promised to us in the gospel. The sum of this is briefly comprised in the articles of the Catholic and undoubted faith, that's the universal and undoubted faith of all true Christians, commonly called the Apostles' Creed. So the Catechism takes us to the Apostles' Creed, and it told us in question and answer 23, into how many parts is this creed divided? Into three. The Apostles' Creed is divided into three parts. The first of the Eternal Father in our creation, the second of the Son in our redemption, the third of the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Here's the creed, and here we see that outline. We spent the last couple weeks looking at the section relating to God the Father. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And today we're starting the second section, which is of the Son. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, from where he shall come to judge both the living and the dead. And then there's the third section on the Holy Spirit. So this was covered in 2 weeks. We had a week that Pastor Travis taught on the fatherhood of God. And then Jeff Whistler last week gave a wonderful lesson on providence. God is maker of heaven and earth. The Catechism at that point expounds his providential care of his creation. This is going to take more than 2 weeks. There's going to be more sessions, more questions and answers, more teachers working through Jesus Christ, his only Son. Our focus in the two questions we're looking at today, which are questions and answers 28 and 29, is only Jesus. This is our theme for the morning, and that is taken from the phrase in the creed, I believe in Jesus, his only Son. The two great themes that we're going to be looking at are the exclusivity and the sufficiency of Christ. Now, someone tell me, what is the exclusivity of Christ? What does that mean? All right. Brian's already quoting one of the texts we're going to get to. So exclusivity means no one else. Only Jesus is saving. What does sufficiency of Christ mean?
As his sacrifice was sufficient to pay for our sins.
That Christ did, it was sufficient, right? He did everything necessary. So if exclusivity is only Jesus and sufficiency is Jesus is enough, somebody bring them together. How do the exclusivity and the sufficiency of Christ relate to one another?
We need Christ and he's all we need.
We need Christ and he's all we need. That's good. I like that. That's a good little turn of phrase. I ask you this. Is an inexclusive Christ sufficient? Think about that. Is an inexclusive Christ sufficient? If there's other ways to the Father, is Jesus enough? No. Is an insufficient Christ exclusive? Did I just say that? What's the first one? I got totally tongue-tied here. Is an inexclusive Christ sufficient? We said no. Is an insufficient Christ exclusive? No, because we need more, right? He can't be exclusive if he's insufficient. We have to add more to him. So these are the questions that unpack to us the exclusivity and the sufficiency of Christ, which are completely related and even dependent on one another. First question and answer 28. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? We think, okay, how's this going to be about exclusivity and sufficiency? Well, look what the answer is. Because he saves us from our sins. That's why he's called Jesus, that is, a Savior. Neither ought any safety to be sought from any other, nor can it be found elsewhere. The exclusivity of Christ. He is Savior, so we shouldn't seek for safety anywhere else, nor can it be found. And then the next one, question and answer 28, or 29? Yeah, 29. Do they then who seek for happiness and safety of the saints or of themselves or elsewhere, three different options, believe in the only Savior, the only Savior, Jesus? And the answer is no. For although in word they boast themselves of him, they talk about Jesus as their only Savior, yet indeed they deny the only Savior, Jesus. For either, here's the logic behind that, either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or those who embrace him as their Savior with a true faith possess all things in him which are required for salvation. Let's illustrate this with math. Now, I say this as somebody who just this past week had a semi-serious conversation with my kids about whether or not we still need to learn math in a world of smartphones and computers and how basic math might be good, but do we really need to be doing all the equations and solving for X and all of that? Engineers do. I'm not saying they don't, but is this what we need to focus on? So I'm not like some math extremist or anything like that, one way or the other, but I did illustrate this with math and with equations even. So Jesus plus nothing, one word answers only, equal what?
Everything.
Okay, I got two answers and they were the same thing. Jesus and everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We don't need to add to Jesus. He's everything we need. I put things on the screen, but I'd like you to see this in your Bibles. Ephesians 1:3. Open up to Ephesians 1:3 and then stay there because our next text is going to be really close to Ephesians 1:3.
There's another thing in math. Where if you say something like, if you believe in Jesus,
yeah. You'd
be saved. That's expressing the faith of your life.
Yeah.
If you say only if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. That expresses necessity. Mm. So math, a lot of times in math, in the definition or theorem, they'll say basically, If and only if you believe in Jesus, that you're saved, and not to spread the exclusivity.
Yeah. My equation will have things added. I'm sure your equation would be more complex. Mine is like carpenter math, so that's kind of the level that I deal with. But so Ephesians 1:3, somebody read that out for me in a nice loud voice.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places.
How many spiritual blessings have we been blessed with? Every. In whom are these spiritual blessings? Christ. We have everything we need in Christ to be saved, to know God in a saving way. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Stay in Ephesians. Jesus plus anything equals what? Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and somebody read for me in a nice loud voice verses 6 to 9.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed.
So what did verse 7 say is, verse 6 say is happening to the gospel? It's not just that it's being replaced, it's being distorted. It's being corrupted. Things are being added to it. They're going in for Jesus plus. And Paul says, if you go in for Jesus plus, let that be anathema. We need to beware of Jesus plus. Adding to Jesus is always a subtraction, even a negation, because it distorts the saving gospel. This is the teaching of question answer 28. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is Savior? Because he saves us from our sins. Neither ought any safety to be sought from any other, nor can it be found anywhere else. Do not seek Jesus plus. A little bit of background on this. The name Jesus is really the same as Joshua. Would have been pronounced Yeshua. It means the Lord is salvation. The catechism takes us to Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, the angel said to Joseph, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he bases that in the meaning of Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The gospel is a beautiful, entire Bible message that you can never exhaust, but the gospel can also be simply stated. And you can put it even as simply as Jesus saves. We have to say more than that, but the gospel tells us Jesus saves. It's simply stated in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you as of first importance. It's a lot of important things, but there's one thing of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Related to the name Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. In the rest of 2 Timothy, every time Paul uses our Savior's name, he calls him Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus. Only in this verse does he say Jesus Christ. And then his two explanations correspond to that order. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is the Savior. He died and rose. It's invoking the work of Christ. He is the Christ as well, the offspring of David. He is that promised Messiah. So there is the whole gospel wrapped up, even just in the name of Jesus. Why is he called Jesus? That is a Savior, because he saves us from our sins. It goes on, though, to say in the second part, neither ought any safety to be sought from any other, nor can it be found elsewhere. Brian already quoted this verse, but let's hear it again. This is what the catechism goes to in its scripture proofs, Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It also takes us to Hebrews chapter 7. Consequently, he, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus plus denies that he saves to the uttermost. It might say he saves to the summost, but it can't say he saves to the uttermost. Because if you have to add to the saving work of Jesus in any sense, then you have departed from Jesus the Savior. There's a reason why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is what it means to hold to Christ alone. Let's do a little bumper sticker apologetics. You ever seen this? Yeah. What do we have here? We have Islam. For some reason, the hippies made an appearance. We've got Judaism. And we've got the cross. I remember seeing this bumper sticker. In more recent years, I've seen a new one that I will not even begin to try to unpack. So we've got it's kind of a gender. I don't know if this is like a homosexuality thing. What exactly is going on there to the hippies? I believe this is satanic. There's a candle. Yin and yang. A lot going on there. You want to know what the biggest lie on this is? The biggest lie on this bumper sticker is coexist. And the reason is that is not what this bumper sticker means. Coexist as a principle is actually a fine and good principle in the sense that, like, we can exist along, like, I'm not going to kill you for believing different than me. I'm going to seek to persuade you, not persecute you. Coexist in that sense would be fine. That is not what this means. This means everybody's kind of the same. This means if you make any exclusive claims, sand those off. Celebrate and affirm what I believe. And if parts of what you believe deny what I believe, you better change. And so when we understand what's actually being said on this, we see that to join the sticker is to lose the cross. Because the cross of Jesus Christ does not coexist in that sense with any other claims of salvation, any other way to the Father. There is no other name given by which we may be saved. Siri has been aggressive the last few weeks. I'm beginning to worry about, first off, our smartphone overlords listening in on us, but I'm also starting to worry about where Siri's coming from. I may have to talk with her. So once again, our simple contractor equations, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Additions are subtractions because they assault the exclusivity and the sufficiency of Christ. So we have seen that that is why he, the Son of God, is called Jesus, that is Savior, because he saves us from our sins. Neither ought any safety to be sought from any other, nor can it be found elsewhere. Next question. Do they then who seek for happiness and safety of the saints, of themselves, or elsewhere, believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No, for although in word they boast themselves of him as their only Savior, yet indeed they deny the only Savior, Jesus. For either Jesus is not a perfect Savior, or that those who embrace him as their Savior with a true faith possess all things in him which are required unto salvation. So three different ways of doing Jesus plus are singled out here. The plus of the saints, which is an obvious reference to Roman Catholicism. The plus of themselves, which is a reference to salvation by my works and by my own effort, my own merit, denying grace alone, denying faith alone, or elsewhere. So that's just a nice catch-all at the end. Anything else, Jesus plus anything. And it's saying that any of those additions are actually not only subtractions, they are negations, because on their own terms, none of them believe Jesus is the only Savior. They may believe he is a Savior or that he is saving when something is added to him, but not that he is the exclusive and sufficient Savior. This is why justification by faith alone matters so much. It matters because it is a biblical doctrine, but it also performs an important function. Justification by faith alone stress tests our understanding and belief and rest in the sufficiency and exclusivity of Jesus Christ. If I trip on the alone of justification by faith alone, I reveal that I'm not actually fully embracing the exclusivity and sufficiency of Christ. I am adding something else to it. We believe in Christ alone. Brief word on Rome, because it gets mentioned. Why would that be brought up? Well, you have to remember the historic context of the catechism. There were wars. There was death occurring over some of these things. And so these were incredibly high stakes. Nations were aligning with either Rome or with the Protestant Reformation. But let me just doctrinally delve into a few things very quickly. This is going to be very, very quick and can't really descend into the nuance. But within Rome, there's a teaching about the treasury of the saints. This is basically the excess merit and righteousness that the departed saints have. There's an understanding there of righteousness, not as that which is imputed to me by faith, Christ's righteousness, an outside of me righteousness, where I'm declared righteous on account of what he's done. There's righteousness instead as something that is infused into me, and I improve through my cooperation with it. And the doctrine of the saints is in part that they have achieved excess merit. They have more than they need, and that merit can be exchanged through the obtaining of indulgences. That is not just a Martin Luther thing. That still happens in the Catholic Church today. And that merit can then be applied through various means to the living now and to the dead in purgatory in order to lessen their sufferings through the merit of the saints. The meaning of the Eucharist, which is the way that Eucharist in and of itself is a good word. It's a biblical word. It means like thanksgiving. But we're talking about the Roman Catholic understanding of what we call the Lord's Supper in that. This is a quote from the Catholic Catechism. It says, "The making present and the sacrificial offering of his unique sacrifice is what's happening." We sometimes misunderstand it as a re-crucifixion of Christ. I don't think that's quite fair to their doctrine. They have more a view of the perpetual crucifixion of Christ. And they have theological reasons they try to argue that. But they do argue that Christ is being continually sacrificed in the sense of his death on the cross in the Mass. And that the church is joining in Christ's sacrifice. Again, quoting from the Catechism, with him, she herself, the church, is offered whole and entire. And this is thought of in such a way that through the doctrine of transubstantiation, where they believe that the elements actually change in substance in such a way that they are the very body and blood of Christ, what they mean by that is shown in that the leftovers are stored in a little box called the tabernacle, and the church is encouraged to worship them. It says in the Catechism again, Christ, the God-man, is present in the totality of his divine and human natures, in the bread and in each of its grains, and in the wine and each of its drops. The reason that that matters is that means Christ would be still suffering, and that we have to add to his sufferings. That is an assault on the sufficiency and the exclusivity of Christ. We have an all-sufficient priest. He is able to save to the uttermost. And in his death, he did it once for all. He made a propitiation for sins once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. I will take a breath. And then we will end on this note, which is let's not end on the negative. Let's end treasuring our exclusive and sufficient Christ who we have. What did the second answer say? It said either Jesus is not a perfect savior, or those who embrace him as their savior with a true faith possess all things in him which are required unto salvation. Jesus is a perfect savior. That is the teaching of Scripture. And so, King's Cross Church, friends visiting with us, if you embrace him, if you embrace Jesus as your savior with a true faith, like the thief on the cross, before you have even had opportunity, which we must show the fruit of that change having happened in us. Absolutely. But before you even have that opportunity, through simple faith alone, those who embrace him as their Savior with a true faith, because it's Christ, not me, possess all things in him which are required unto salvation. If you possess Christ by faith, you possess all things that are necessary for salvation. Justification is by faith alone. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of what we mean when we say Christ alone. And we do join our hearts, we join our minds together this morning to proclaim on the basis of your revealed truth, which is clear in your word, that Jesus is enough. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is sufficient. He has done to the uttermost all that is necessary for us to be saved. We cling to Christ and Christ alone. We pray these things in his name, the name of Jesus, the only name that we cling to for salvation. Amen.